Okay, welcome to Kingdom Business Network. And today we have the privilege of having Todd Gant on once again. Todd is a ordained minister, but he's kind of got his one foot. This doesn't sound right if I say one foot in the world, one foot in the church, one foot in the business world as a Christian, and one foot in the church. And he is just amazing teacher, but he's also learned how to just deliver Jesus and his work and his works environment. He works for medical devices, sales for medical devices, and I'll let him tell a little bit more, but I want to get him right on. Before I do that, I just want to give you a quick reminder for our next call, in case you have to jump off this call a little bit early. Our next call is going to be 4 weeks from now, not three. And unfortunately, I have a commitment in 3 weeks from now. So, but 4 weeks from now, and I'm going to actually be sharing on that call. And it's, and my topic is called Breaking Through. And the reason why we're setting that topic is because the Kingdom Business Network Advisory Team met a couple weeks ago, and we decided we want to make some a little adjustments in terms of the Kingdom Business Network calls and what we're doing. And so on the next call, you're going to be hearing about the reasons why those adjustments and how to even break through more in the workplace as a representative of Jesus there. So hope you'll join us for that one. It's Thursday, April 29th. And so I want to get Todd Gant right on here. Todd, welcome. Are you unmuted, Todd? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? There we go.
Okay. Yes, we are good. Good.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the intro and hello to everyone. I don't know if you guys were on the last time that I spoke, but it's a privilege to be on the call. I've known Tom a long time, and I've been working kind of alongside him, or kind of with, you know, for him and with him for many years. So it's a privilege to be on here with you guys. And as Tom said, I've had, you know, one foot in the business world for the last 30 years, and one foot in ministry for about 15 of those years now. And the Lord keeps me in this position. And at times it's challenging and difficult. And some, at times, as I talked to Tom about, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do sometimes, if I'm supposed to step in the ministry full time or continue to walk in both. But I can tell you that, and some of you on this call may be dealing with that exact question in your mind at this time, I can tell you that, you know, God is a God of and. He's not a God of or. And I say that because he is a God that can do both. He can do all that you're looking to do, as long as you don't try to typecast what you think you should be doing. And what I mean by that is you don't model your life after, you know, some well-known minister or whatever it may be. You can, but that may not be the pathway the Lord has for you. That he may have a pathway that is slightly different, and that's the path that he has for you, and you have to just be accepting of what that is. And that's the, I would call the dilemma I've been in for many years, and I always think it's a dilemma, but it's actually a blessing, because I have the opportunity to minister and to teach and to pray for people while still being in the secular world, and bringing Jesus into those settings, shining a brighter light into those settings. Just like it's happening at Toyota that you just described. So that's I guess a little bit of an intro for me. Let me pray real quick, and then I'll kind of get into what I have for you. So Father God, I just say thank you for this group of folks on this call today. I just thank you for making this opportunity for us, Father. I just thank you for technology that we can get together remotely, but feel like we're in the same room together. I know that is just a blessing that we're able to use. And so, Father, I just ask you that anything that I say today that is not coming from you, Father, I just ask everyone to forget it before they get off this call, that it does not resonate with them because it is not from you. But Father, if there are things I say that are impactful in everyone's lives, I would just ask that each person be woken up just gently in the middle of the night to contemplate those things. And Lord, I just ask you to encourage them to step into the reality of what you have for them around any of these topics. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I've been praying that prayer now for 12 years every time I speak, and the Lord will gently wake you up to confirm what I just said, and also to motivate you to do things that he wants you to do. So if any of you get woken up in the next 7 days, it's because of my prayer and me. So I apologize up front, but I kind of don't apologize up front. So,
So I just want to mention, I just want to mention that Todd and I talked ahead of time, and he's going to be more go into more teaching mode. So I know in the past I've kind of done more of an interview mode, but I'm just going to let Todd go here, and because he's going to be more teaching on Word of Knowledge and then giving examples in the marketplace. So I just want to make sure people knew that I'm changing the style up here a little bit. So go for it, Todd.
Yeah, excellent. So, and really, it's really kind of a short teaching on what Word of Knowledge is, what it's meant to me. And then I'll give you some examples of things that have happened. You know, we've already gotten a couple of examples with the testimonies. So, I don't have a monopoly on testimonies, right? If you're walking with the Lord, it'll happen to you, as everyone on this call knows, if you're stepping out. So you know, first of all, what is a word of knowledge, and kind of where does it come from in the Bible? And if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1, it gives some explanation for what this gift is. And you don't have to go there. I'm going to read, you know, 4 or 5 verses for you just so you can catch a glimpse of it. But I would ask you to write down 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1 and flowing to verse 8. So this is what it says starting in verse 1. I'm reading out of the Amplified. So now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. And there are distinctive varieties of ministries and service, but it is the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 8, to one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom, and to another the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. So basically, in summary, what is being said here to us by Paul is that there is a special endowment, he calls it. And the definition of endowment is a quality or ability possessed or inherited by someone. So an endowment is a special gift or thing given to someone for a purpose. So it is given in the moment for a purpose that is unique to that situation. I always liken it. It's almost like any type of strength training that you would do physically. You have a certain level of strength in your body that you can do a certain amount of work. But suddenly, out of the blue, you hear these stories of someone coming upon a car crash, right? And their car is on top of someone's body. And then suddenly that person has an endowment of power that comes to them, some physical manifestation that comes, and they can lift the car off of someone's body. It's not in the physical realm that I'm describing. It's the spiritual realm, but it's similar to that in that suddenly you're endowed with something, or you're given something that is greater than you could do on your own. And it's, as described here in 1 Corinthians 12, it is a gift that is given to you for a purpose. And one of those gifts, and there's a variety of them in this passage, is this word of knowledge. So I believe that, you know, the word of knowledge is something that's distributed all the time. I have so many examples of the word of knowledge that I've received for people. And I'll get into some of what that looks like for me and kind of how that has worked in ministry for me. But it can happen for a variety of reasons, a variety of ways. It's not one specific thing that happens to, you know, certain people receive understanding or knowledge of a situation in a certain way, and others receive it in a different way. It's not, there's not a right or wrong, I guess is what I'm trying to get at here. It's something that just comes to you that it gives you information that you don't normally have, and you wouldn't have any other way but through the Holy Spirit and through a supernatural understanding. It can be an understanding of someone's life, something that's happening in their life. It can be a prayer need they might have. It can be an emotional need that they might have. It can be a physical need. I get a lot of words of knowledge around physical healing, which is what my ministry is the crux of what I do from a ministry standpoint, is around around praying for people and seeing supernatural things happen in people's bodies. So a lot of times my words of knowledge are like that. So, what I always like to quote the Bible to explain the Bible, right? If it's not in the Bible, it's not something that we should necessarily follow. And so there's a bunch of examples in the Bible of words of knowledge being used, but one that I'll quote here is in Acts 27. It's actually Paul. So I'm just going to read through this again. You don't have to go there, but Acts 27, starting in verse 21, you can jot that down and go look at it later. This is what it says. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Verse 22. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. So in that example, Paul is on a ship and he's sailing to Rome. And he got a word of understanding and a word of wisdom, word of knowledge about what was going to happen to the ship. And he explained it to them in this setting. He says, you're not going to be hurt. The ship is going to be damaged, but you're not going to be. So again, just an example from the Bible of a word of knowledge, a word of understanding that he expressed to others. So how does a word of knowledge come? And that's kind of the next step in the process. Once you understand what it is, then you have to understand kind of how does it come to people? And it comes in a variety of ways. I'll illustrate how a word of knowledge comes to me. And then, you guys can each think of your own situations, because people receive words in different ways. The way I receive a word of knowledge is when I'm in the moment. So I'll be in a situation having a conversation with someone around a variety of topics, whatever it could be. And suddenly I will feel an inclination inside of my being about that person regarding a topic. So it could be I could suddenly see an image in my mind of their knee or of their neck, or I could see an image of their son, or I could see an image of their marriage, or I could see an image of their bank account, or it could be just a variety of things, but it's not this gigantic, profound, knock you to the floor piece of knowledge. It's more of an intuition and something that comes to you. And I know when I say that right now, many on this call are saying, yep, that's happened to me many times. I know that I've had an intuition, is what you might call it, for a certain circumstance. That is a word coming to you. Now, you have to act upon that word in order to bring it to life. And that's where you have to believe that the word is true and that the word you're receiving is something about that person. So you have to use that word in the conversation, or in prayer, or in whatever setting that you're in, to make it come to life. And I can tell you, first of all, don't feel frustrated with yourself if you're sitting here thinking that's probably happened to me 50 times and I haven't done anything with it. Don't be frustrated with yourself, because all of us have that same testimony. We all have had multiple words of knowledge come to us and not acted upon. And I'll give you a very challenging example for me. It's a very humbling example, because I did nothing with this word of knowledge. I happened to be invited to an atheist convention in Austin. So I was there with four other pastors, and there was a room full of, it was probably 600 people. And on the stage were two local pastors and two high-ranking atheists from this national atheist organization. And they were debating back and forth just different things. And I was growing more and more frustrated with this conversation as it was happening in front of me. And as I said, there was 600 people in the room. And one of the gentlemen in the room in the front with a microphone said, listen, I don't believe in your God, and I don't believe this could ever happen. But I'll place this challenge. He said, if your God is real, then he held up his left hand. He said, if your God is real, then I will ask him to grow another finger on this hand. And right then the Holy Spirit prompted me to get up and walk to the front of the room and pray for this man. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to get up and walk to the front of the stream. I was scared. I was so scared, right? This was about 10 years ago. And I sat there and I felt this burning in my body to get up and do something about it. And it is a supernatural feeling. It wasn't from me. It wasn't Todd just being frustrated with this gentleman. So I sat there and I sat there and I sat there, and the moment passed and I did not get up and I did not walk up there. And I think back to that moment many times of what could have possibly happened, because I feel like if I'd walked up there and put my hands on this man and prayed, another finger would have grown out of this guy's hand, and the Lord would have been glorified in that room, and there would have been a room full of people coming to Jesus in that moment. But I missed the opportunity because I didn't act upon the word that was in front of me. And so that's a very extreme example. And I illustrate that just so you all understand that there's going to be many times you may not act upon the word, especially in the marketplace. You may feel challenged to actually act and move into that setting. But I'll give you some other examples of when I did act upon it, and it really changed the situation. So I was this, you know, sitting in a cafeteria, and there was a young lady that came over and sat down, you know, next to us in the cafeteria when I was at work. And when, as soon as she sat down, I had a feeling again, it was not really a word of knowledge. It was really a word of emotion that I felt for her. And I just felt this need to minister to her like I didn't feel with other people. And so I identified that as something that was happening with her. And then I you know, developed the courage, and that's, you know, the purpose of this call is to develop the courage to act upon that, in the marketplace. And when I say act upon that, it doesn't mean you have to start necessarily just preaching to the entire room the gospel of Jesus, right? You don't have to do that. Whatever you offer to Jesus in that moment, he will use that. The Holy Spirit will use that in that conversation to continue to move you down that path. You just need to do something. And so all I've learned to do in that moment is if I feel an inkling of word of knowledge in the marketplace, I extend kindness through a conversation. All I do is say, how's your day going today? And when I do that, the Holy Spirit uses that part of that conversation with the other person who looks at me and says, this guy cares and I'm going to open up to him. Or this person cares and I'm going to open up to him. And so all I said was, how's your day going? She goes, well, it's not going that great today. And so we engaged in a conversation back and forth. And as we're in the middle of that conversation, what happens with me is the more I talk, the more understanding I have. It's almost like a picture in a room and the room is full of fog. And every word that I speak, the fog dissipates just a little bit more, so that I can start to clearly see the picture behind the fog. And the longer I engage in the conversation, the more clear my destination in that conversation is. And that may not be completely clear, but as you engage in that conversation, it's suddenly your understanding fine tunes, becomes much more clear. And so as I was engaging her in this conversation, I got to a place where I mentioned something about her life that the Lord had shown me that was personal. And I just said, it sounds like you may need prayer for this. And when I said that, she had never told anybody about the situation. It was a word of understanding that I had about her life. And so we prayed in that moment, you know, just quietly, you know, 10, 15 seconds, and then we moved on. So that's just an example of where I was successful or I was being used in a successful way with the word of knowledge in the marketplace. But another thing that the Lord uses me for when it comes to the word of knowledge in the marketplace is I am engaging with physicians all the time. My job has me in front of physicians. And I would say, the large portion of physicians I call on are either atheists or they're certainly not believers in Jesus. And so they could be of different faiths, just a variety of different things, but a lot of them just, they believe medicine is their God, and they believe that if you can't prove it with a clinical trial, then it's not real. And so when I talked to them about my son, which I haven't shared on this call, but I had a miracle happen with my son. That's what brought me into ministry. When I share just a little bit about my son and the miracle that happened with him, they don't know what to do with that. Like, they have no understanding for what to do with a faith-based answer and a non-clinical based answer. And so in that moment, the Lord will use me many times with a word of knowledge about their particular situation, their family, their kids, their finances, their practice, whatever it may be. And when I say that to them, it is a look of complete shock. There's no way possible he could have known that, right? It's not, it's not public knowledge. And as soon as I share that, they look at me like, how did you know that? Like, that doesn't make sense. How can you possibly? And I tell them, the Lord showed me that right now in this conversation, just like he healed my son, which makes no sense, right? And so in that moment, a lot of them are just in complete shock. They have no understanding for what just happened. And what it does is it allows me to have a conversation about Jesus with a person who is a non-believer, because the power of God is on display up front, and it opens the door for a conversation on the back end, if that makes sense. So that's just another example of kind of how the Lord has used words of knowledge in the marketplace. I guess, you know, I only have a couple more minutes here, Tom, but I think the other point that I would make to you on word of knowledge is, you know, some people get words of knowledge in ways I don't. So some people get words of knowledge, maybe they're just sitting here and suddenly they get a word of knowledge about someone that's in another state, another country, another city. It just happens for them in that way. I don't get those words. That's not what happens in my life. I never have gotten words like that. So if you're getting words like that, that's fantastic. I can't speak to that because I don't have that happen to me. The way it happens to me is I have to walk into circumstances. You know, I have to be in the room with the person. You know, I've gotten many words of knowledge when I'm praying for people because I have people that will come up in a prayer line per se, and they're crying profusely. They can't even speak. They can't tell me what's wrong. And so I'll grab their hands and just start to pray, and they can't speak and tell me whatever they want me to pray for. So as I start praying, the Lord shows me everything in their life that they want me to pray for. And I just continue in prayer. And when I get through and they stop crying, they're like, how did you know all that? And I'm like, well, you couldn't speak. So the Lord had to tell me what was wrong so I could adequately pray for you. So my point is that's what happens with me. I have to engage in a conversation with someone. And as I do, I call it priming the pump. It's, you know, and I've never used a water well, but I've seen water wells where you have to pump 5 or 6 times and then water starts to come out of the pump after that 5th or 6th pump. And then after you pump it 5 or 6 times, you can stop and the water is still coming out. And that's how words of knowledge happen for me, is that as I'm praying, as I'm speaking to someone, as I'm priming the pump through conversation, suddenly a word starts to come. And then the more I do it, the more it flows. And I've heard Tom, you know, preach on just the prophetic word and how to get prophetic words. And all this is in one bucket, right? It's the same thing when it comes to receiving prophecy from the Lord or receiving a download from the Lord. It's all through this kind of flow that happens. And if, you know, if any of you have had that inkling, and as I asked you when I first started speaking, if any of you have had that feeling before that you knew something about someone or you had a feeling about someone, that was the beginning of that word coming to you. It is the beginning of that. And as you act upon that, it will continue to grow and manifest and get bigger, and you'll get deeper and more clear understanding. So, you know, finally, Tom, just to conclude, you know, why is it important in the marketplace? And I've said some of that with my physician interactions, but it is important in the marketplace because the Lord needs to show up there. We need to bring the Lord into those environments. We need to bring Jesus into these settings. And he doesn't always come in through the front door with, you know, a 20-piece band. That's not how the Lord comes in. The Lord comes in quietly through the back door with one person who's willing to share the gospel. But that one person can completely revolutionize that building, that practice, that business, you know, anyone in that business. He doesn't need to come through the front door in massive levels of power. He just needs one believer to open their mouth and continuously do that, and he'll grow that in whatever setting he's in. So that's all I had, Tom. I, you know, that's kind of the,
oh, that's
the
good.
Quick.
You're right on time. And to me, that's what you're just sharing about that stepping out, that God, some people I know in my own life, I would get impressions, but I would just think, oh, that's just me.
Yep.
And you know what? You don't know if it's just me or if it's really the Lord speaking unless you try it. There's no way to confirm that. And so therefore, you're not going to grow. You're not going to have discernment in whether that's me or whether that's God unless you try it. And that's where, you know what? Just just step out and try it. And then you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, or, you just step out and say, hey, I'm just wondering, I just got this impression right now. Is this going on in your life? And hey, you're either going to be right or wrong. And people will say, no, that's not going on in my life. And you're like, oh, okay. I just thought, sometimes the Lord speaks to me and I have it right. That must've just been me that time, You just dismiss it and you go on. But there's other times when people are like, yeah, that, you know, and here's the one thing that really bugs me is that so many times when this happens, you know, the person, when you get it right, you know what they ask? Are you psychic? And you know what bugs me about that? It's like the world has an understanding of how God can do, or not God does it, but how the psychic world does it, really the demonic world, but how they do it out there and how people go to psychics to get these words like this. But unfortunately, because the Church of Jesus Christ hasn't been walking in this, that whenever we get something, they think it's a psychic world, you know? But I believe that this, that the Lord's raising up believers who are regularly walking in this. And sometime in the near future, people are going to be asking, oh, are you one of those Christians that hear from God? You know, that's what I'm waiting for.
Tom, just to add to that real quick, I know you got a transition, but person, when you engage with them and you bring something up to them and they're like, no, that's not happening to me. A lot of times they're not telling you the truth, right? They're a little bit afraid of what just is going on right now. They're like, well, if this guy knows then what else does this person know about me that I don't want him to know, right? So they may deny it in that moment. So what I do in that moment when that happens, and it happens often, I'm like, hey, you know what? I thought I heard something, but let me pray for you anyway, right? And then and then just step into that and just pray what you felt was happening. Just pray that anyway and kind of don't give them a choice, right? If that makes sense, in a kind way, but you're basically taking over the circumstance. So,
yeah, it's really true. I find that when people tell me that it's not right or that doesn't apply to them, I find that there's probably about 30 to 35, 40% of them that are actually lying to me. and they come, and later on I find out, Tom, that really was true about me. I just didn't know what to do with that. It just took me off guard or whatever. But anyway, that's really great. Hey, could you just pray, Todd, for the group that because I really believe that many are actually getting words of knowledge right now, but are not realizing it. And then others that need to, you know, God just needs to speak maybe a little louder and they need to be a little bit more obedient with what they get. So could you pray for those right now? And then we'll
do that. And I'll add just real quick to that it's, you know, this is like a muscle. If you don't use it, what ends up happening is it'll atrophy and it'll become smaller in your life. It's the same thing with like the desire to study the Word of God. If you walk away from the Bible for a while, that muscle will atrophy. So my prayer will be that, you know, you, whatever the Lord gives each one of us, me included, that I act upon that, because then that muscle will get stronger and there'll be more work that it can do. So Father God, I just thank you for this group. I thank you for the words that you gave me to speak to this group. And Father, I just ask you right now that you make manifest in a stronger way words of knowledge, words of understanding, words of wisdom. Father, that I ask you and Holy Spirit to collaborate with us and to continue to give us those thoughts and those ideas about people so that we can further your kingdom. Because the purpose of words of knowledge is to further your kingdom. It's not to make Todd look good. It's to further the kingdom of God in that person's life in front of you, Father. So I ask you also, Father, to give us the courage and the understanding and the wisdom to step into this truth. Because wisdom and power comes from you, Father. So we just thank you that you not only give us the word, but you give us the energy and the tenacity to act upon that word with the people in front of us, Father. And Father, I ask you to, even if we walk by the next 10 people that we get words for, give us the 11th and give us the 12th and keep giving it to us, because I know you have patience for us, Father, as we all grow up into looking more like Jesus. So Father, I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Todd. Really appreciate it. Bless you. Have a great day. And may the Lord use you as you minister, as you just go about your day as well.
Always a blessing to be with you guys. So.
Thanks.